Well, good morning, everyone. Coordination, wonderful, excellent. It's good to be in God's house today because we're here to worship Him and to exalt His name together. And we've been reminded already this morning that Jesus is light of the world. And of course, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So we open our hearts, we open our minds, and we open our voices today to celebrate Jesus. Father, through Jesus Christ the Son. Father, we thank you that we can come before you today, that we can acknowledge you as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we come before you today recognizing that you are holy. You are surrounded by an unapproachable light. And yet you call us to come and to worship you. Lord, we want to dedicate today to you. We want you to receive all honor and all glory. We want you to be preeminent today, that the name of Jesus might be exalted in our hearts and on our lips today. Lord, we want you to have your way among us. And we say, not unto us, Lord, but unto you be the glory because of your Son, Jesus. What great things you have done, Lord. What great things you have taught us. What great things you have revealed to us through Jesus and by your Holy Spirit, that we can claim the name of Jesus today in our hearts and in our lives. And we worship you today. Lord, we want you to really work among us today. We want your word to speak into our hearts, that Lord, that we might be spiritually energized as we look forward to the coming of Jesus. As we look forward to the anticipation of what Christmas brings to the world, the life and the Spirit of Jesus. And so today, Lord, we pray, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we might perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. So, Lord, have your way among us. Forgive us for the sins that so easily beset us. The words said in haste that we didn't mean to say. The actions that we took that might have offended others. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, you say that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, holy God, the one who enables us now to come through Jesus. Not because we're good enough, not because we're worthy enough, but because of the blood of Jesus. So have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forever. And the reason I've chosen this psalm just to meditate on and to reflect on is simply because as we begin this Advent season, some people get quite frazzled. They're not at all at peace. They're thinking about presents to buy and all sorts of things. And it's very easy for us to get caught up with what Christmas has become. And when we look at this psalm, we see three specific things. First of all, the psalmist recognizes his own humility. Secondly, He recognized that he was very limited. He recognized his own limitations. And thirdly, he put his hope firmly in the Lord. Humility is the opposite of pride, of course. I used to say I'm proud to be humble, but that joke is well gone now. But when we think about this time of year, it's very easy to get caught up with the things of Advent and Christmas rather than the real meaning of it. And it's important for us to humbly acknowledge that we can't become Christians because we live good lives. We don't become Christians because we go to church. We become Christians because we humbly accept Jesus Christ is the Lord. The question is he Lord of our lives? The Bible says to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and he will lift us up. It's only when we humble ourselves that God exalts us. Jesus himself humbled himself even to death on the cross. But God exalted him by raising him from the dead. When we look at the busyness of this Advent period, which seems to be going on for months, we see the opposite of humility. We see gain rather than grace. We see effort rather than peace. I think as believers today, we humbly accept that we are here because Jesus was born in a stable and died on a cross. We are here to represent to the world Jesus is Lord. We're here to be different to the world. We're here to think differently, to act differently, to speak with grace and love. Humility is the first thing. Secondly, knowing our limitations. The psalmist says, I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. This verse is particularly pertinent for me. I decided this week, rightly or wrongly, to change from sky to EE. I was told on the phone it was going to be much cheaper and it's very easy to convert the two. I've got the boxes. That's as far as I go. I haven't got a clue what's in them, but I'm told it's something that will help me go on to EE TV. Hopefully TNT Sports as well, that's important. But to know our limitations, to know that we're limited with our finances. We don't have to be like everybody else, because when we love somebody, we give what we can, not what we cannot. It doesn't matter if the turkey doesn't get cooked on time. It doesn't matter if we don't buy the crackers. It does matter. Okay, it does matter. It doesn't matter. And I think when I look at people today and they look so stressed, and there's, when you go into Morrison's, there's stacks and boxes of biscuits and sweets, and you think, I'm not going to get caught up with this. To know our limitations, to know what our budget is, it's not to be silly. And to recognize we are limited. And if people love us, they'll accept the fact they don't get a Christmas card this year. And of course, he then went on to say, I stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. I've been trying to practice that, you know, about just letting everything go. If you've come in this morning, you're like this. Just let it go. Just relax. It doesn't matter. You know, God says, Jesus says, do not consider tomorrow, for today has got enough troubles of its own. Stop thinking about tomorrow. Some of you are thinking about tomorrow, next week, and so on. Just today is the most important day. This moment is the most important time for us. to put our hope in the Lord, to trust in him with all our heart. Remember that text we chose the year before last? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own. Just checking to see whether you're with me. I'd forgotten for a moment. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. How true that is. To put our hope in the Lord, to trust in him, to make him Jesus this Christmas. Jesus and Lord. Let's hear this song, Graham, Nigel. It's called I Speak Jesus. You may have heard it. If you can really turn the sound up, that'd be great. And just allow this song to really meditate and meet in your heart this morning.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Jesus on the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the stream, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Lord, we thank you today for your word that reminds us that you are in control, that you are Lord of our lives, that you are Lord of this church, you are Lord of the nations. And we gladly submit to you today because we recognize, Lord, that you became flesh and dwelt among us. You came to reveal God to us in a very real and profound way. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that there is power in the name of Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved but by Jesus. Jesus on my lips. Jesus in my heart. Jesus, I believe in. Jesus is Lord. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. For today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. John chapter 3. Very familiar, at least one verse is. But let's just read from verse 1 to verse 21 of John chapter 3. And this is Jesus with Nicodemus. Very interesting encounter. So John chapter 3 from verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "But how can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And everyone that does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. May God give clarity afresh to us this morning at the beginning of this Advent season. Lord, we thank you that we can say we believe in Jesus, that we believe in our heart and we confess him as Lord today. We pray for those today, our loved ones, family, friends, neighbours, this neighbourhood that does not know you, Lord, that does not have the hope that we have. Lord, we pray, speak at this time. May your Holy Spirit convict them of their need to come into a living, dynamic relationship with Jesus and find hope and light and life, eternal life. Lord, awaken those that sleep in sin. Awaken those to the aspects of life as a believer that it's not, Lord, we fix our eyes not as what is seen, but as what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. May your church display your light and your life today, we pray. And may this church be a light to this area, and may through our witness and all that we do to reach the hearts of people, may we see many coming into a living relationship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3:16 is the text we're going to think about today. It's the most important text of the Bible, and yet it's so often been misunderstood. It was Charles Spurgeon that once said that we can read a text and we can leave it, but when a text doesn't leave you, it's saying something very profound. John 3:16 is the true expression of why we're here today, that God so loved the world. It's the very doctrine that we base our faith on. It's the nature of God to love. And therefore, we won't leave it behind, but we're going to hold on to it today. And I pray that this verse becomes your mantra during this Advent period. When the stress comes and you seem to get caught up with the things of what Christmas has become today, just quote this verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The word Advent, of course, means waiting or preparation for the coming of Jesus. But did you know that we are waiting for the second advent, the second coming of Jesus? There are more references for the second advent than there is for the first advent. So the second advent is very important. And so we wait in preparation for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're living when he comes back, we should be taken up to be with him in the air. It's amazing to think about that. But what a wonderful day it will be. It'll be like Enoch when he was walking and God took him. And we'd be just taken up to be with him because we believe in him. And we have faith in him. And we are waiting for him. To live for the expectation of Jesus coming again is a worthy life standard to have. To fix our eyes on things above, not on earthly things. There's an advert going from advent to advert. You see there's an item on one of the adverts that said, "This is what Christmas is about." I think it was a men's aftershave, I think. "This is what Christmas is about." And it got me thinking that this is exactly where we are in Christmas 2025, isn't it? To be honest. It's what Christmas has become to the people of our land today. I was in Morrison's. I'm boasting I go shopping. I don't mean to, but anyway, I said it. And I saw these little children helping their parents. And these little children were so well behaved. It's a wonderful time for parents because they know, and grandparents, they know that little Johnny or little Sarah has to be well behaved. Otherwise, Father Christmas or Santa Claus or Batman or Superman is not going to come. That's what it's become, isn't it? And I believe the Lord is saying to us, let's not be like the rest of the world. Let's fix our eyes on the real importance of what this season is about. Of course, it is a season of coming together, of being with family and friends. But it's also a very difficult time for some of us here. It's a very sad time. We can't celebrate like the others. And seeing some of these adverts on the television, how three or four people eat all that food, I just don't know. But maybe they do, maybe they don't. But there is an expectation to go further, I think, today. And it's putting a lot of pressure on people. I heard the other day of a mother of a three-year-old that had already spent £500 on this child. This is what it's become. On average, we'll spend £356 at Christmas on things. But if we lose sight of the real reason for this time, we can't celebrate in the true form. If our expectations are only momentary, then what happens in January? That rhymes, doesn't it? You see what I mean? We fix our eyes on the one who loved us so much. God so loved the world. God's motivation is to love and to always love. You know, when I think about sentimental love or falling in love, do you remember those days of falling in love? Maybe you haven't. It's an exciting time to fall in love. I believe God is saying, let's fall in love with him again. Do you remember what is said in Revelation chapter 2 about the church at Ephesus? You have forsaken your first love. Is Jesus Lord? Do we love him? Do we love him because he first loved us? You see, God so loved the world, it wasn't just for one or two people. It wasn't for a particular group, but it was his gift to the whole world. And although people outside of the church today don't know this, but God really does love them with a never-ending love. It's a perfect love that drives out all fear, the Bible says. But love has to be expressed. You can't say to somebody, I love you, and you don't do something about it. Now, I know Margaret's not here, and she won't forgive me for saying it. We'll scrap the recording. But I know she loves me, but have I got my Rolex watch yet? No, I haven't. The true expression of love is to give your man a Rolex at Christmas. You know what I mean, though, is that love is expressed in action, not in words. And Jesus and God did this. He didn't just say, I love you. He demonstrated that love. It's the most precious gift of all. The uniqueness of his son. The Greek word means the one and only. I don't mean Chesney Hawke's one and only. The only begotten son, Jesus. Let's just think about that for a moment. God so loved us. We who had were full of sin. And he who had no sin came to deal with our sin. What perfect love. If you don't get anything for Christmas, and I'm sure you will, you've got God's love. That's sufficient. Maybe instead of me giving presents out this Christmas, I could say, God loves you. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus not only appeared as a man, he became one. We read that in Hebrews chapter 2. There's a lovely verse in John chapter 1 where we read the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In verse 17 it says, for the law was given through Moses. Moses went up to Mount Horeb to receive the law. But then it says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came to where we are. And Jesus comes to where you are today in your life, in your world. It's the revelation of God demonstrating his love through Christ. That his love, his grace, his truth. It's by grace you have been saved. It's not of yourself, it's a gift of God. What a wonderful gift to know that we are saved. That we have a relationship with Jesus this Christmas. Even though you may not get anything, you have Jesus. Jesus embodies the very nature of God in love. I remember many years ago, a lady whose husband suddenly died. He wasn't ill. He was taken from her and she was left totally distraught. And I remember praying for her, and a verse came to my mind from Matthew chapter 11 when Jesus says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And I prayed that into her life. Sometime later, she, in her grief, and you know what grief is, some of you, she was on her bed crying out to God, oh, I miss whatever her husband's name, I miss him so much. She really felt physical arms around her. Now, in her mind, in her grief, I don't know, but she felt comforted because she came to Jesus and she believed that Jesus was all in all. And Jesus met her in her grief. You often, we say, why, Lord? Why do things like that happen? Why do we go through extreme difficulties, even at this time of year, and it's manifested more so, I think, this time of year. And the Lord simply says, I'm not going to answer why, but I'm going to say, what's next? What's next, Lord? Is that a step of faith to believe? What next, Lord? Can it get much worse? You see, when we restrict God's love to just pure doctrine, or the teaching of the church, or religion, we start doing things for God and not living with God. You know, it does happen in the church, but I'm doing this for the church. But we're doing it because we love God and God lives in us, the hope of glory in our hearts. John chapter 3, in a way, is quite a sad reflection on those that have, you know, an adequate comprehension of who Jesus is. Nicodemus, here he is a Pharisee, is a member of the Jewish ruling council. I believe he was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council. He knew it. He knew the law back to front. He knew everything about God. And yet he didn't know Jesus. He said, yes, you're a teacher that's come from God. We know that. You see, I think people make their own mind up what Jesus is like. You know, some people will use a church service at this time of year because it's a thing that you do, and I can understand that and can celebrate that. But when we don't fully comprehend Jesus, it becomes an order, it becomes something we do rather than someone we are. You know, I've put a note down here. The stable for some is sufficient because you can manipulate it. You can, the baby Jesus becomes something that you can manage and change and think about. But it's only the cross that satisfies. It satisfied God to put Jesus in our place for our sin and our separation from him. And it satisfies us completely. I am satisfied in the knowledge that Christ gave his life for me. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He found that the cross of Christ satisfied his basic need. He says, I have learned to be well fed, I've learned to be hungry, but my God will supply all my need according to his riches in glory. I am satisfied in him. The Lord would say to us, be satisfied in him this Advent. Be at peace with him. Share the humility of what Christ did to lay down his life for us, that we lay down our lives for others, to know our limitations, to not put ourselves beyond the limits that we can achieve. Put our hope in him. For he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. There's the greatest gift of all. So Spurgeon's right. We should never let this text leave us. Let's speak it this Advent. Let's live it. Let it become a mantra for us during the month. Let us confess it every day. Because it is our life. His life for our life. The greatest gift of all, for God so loved the world, that whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. And maybe this morning it is a healing and wholeness service. I don't know whether we mentioned that, but so anyone that wants prayer, I'm available for that. But maybe it raises questions in our own minds about our own walk with God. This phrase, be about being about born again, to be born of the Spirit of God, maybe it's a journey that you're on. And I'm just going to pray this morning for all of us. That maybe it was some time ago when we said yes to Jesus, when we recognized we were full of sin and we needed a Savior to cleanse us. Or maybe you're still on a journey of discovery. I'm just going to pray this day. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word that says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. May we re-examine our own hearts today and ask ourselves, am I really born again to Jesus? Do I really know him and personally walk with him? And as your word says, today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And so, Lord, thank you that we have a true understanding of Jesus. He came into this world to save us from our sin and to save the world. May we, in our lives and the reflection of our lives, demonstrate his saving power so that others will come into a knowledge of him. Amen. Let's share the grace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.